All right, we're going to get
you.
Started.
Italian sausage.
You ready to go?
Hey, Pops, how you doing?
That's a good joke.
Oh, wait, okay. No. Who is it? It's Frank. Frank always, like, he breathes heavy. He's like, what I'm saying? No, I can't do it. But he breathes.
He's like,
he breathes
what
heavy.
I'm worried
yeah,
about.
Yeah, he's like,
Dolores.
Yeah. Dolores, don't do that. And then he's like, speeds it up, but then he feels like he can't breathe at all times,
totally.
You know?
I think his, like, veins are stuffed with Italian sausage.
No, it's like, it's GHB or human growth hormone.
Or that.
Like, I mean, there's no way only people in Jersey are that big. There's no way the situation, him, Ronnie, there's just no way that's the only area of the United States that they grow them that big. There's just no way. Like, they're all on human growth hormone. They have to be.
Hi guys.
I'm sorry.
Hi everyone. Welcome to an exciting new episode of Brown Eyed Unicorn. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and today's guest is a dear friend of mine, a dear friend of the pod. You might know him from his old podcast, Realizing Stuff with Kara and Ryan, or his new podcast, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. We have, you guessed it, Ryan Bailey.
What up, Brown Eyed Unicorn Nation?
Top man.
He's a bad.
Do
you think people know that Top Man is a DJ James Kennedy song? Like, do you think they even know what Top Man is?
No, you know which one I like? Dun, get loose. I don't even know. I just took two. Dun, 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 dun.
Or feeling you.
Turn up, get loose. Ain't nobody, I'm feeling like I'm feeling you.
My friend DJ James Kennedy from Vanderpump Rules is playing in Arizona tomorrow night, and they're offering $4 tickets.
Oh.
Which is like not even five, like $4. That's such a value. He's worth every penny then.
Look. We've had quite, a week with the VPR universe. We went to the book signing for Fancy AF Cocktails with Ariana and Danny Pellegrino.
You had a real ticket.
I got a real ticket.
I just was there.
Fully supported. Well, I didn't know how it was going to go. And also, like, my sister wanted a signed copy. So, like, I had business to do. But
you asked a good question, too.
I asked a good question. You guys, this is some Brown Eyed Unicorn intel. I asked, every season, allegiances and alliances kind of shift. Does anyone have like a redemption season? And they were like, ooh, good question. Ooh. And then they said Kristen.
Yeah, Tom's like, really keep an eye out on Kristen this season.
Yeah,
I think you're really gonna like her.
Ariana's like, yeah, we love Kristen.
Which by the way, I have that audio and that's in my podcast actually this week.
Ooh.
Is your question.
Oh my God, thank
I have
you.
That audio. And your Dorinda imitation is in there as well. I didn't sound really. But did you prepare that question beforehand, or was that on the spot question?
I just thought of it on the spot.
I got to tell you guys know this listening. She's really good at that because any of us could have asked questions, and I sat there going, boom, 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 boom. Like, I was like, TV, what's that like? Like, I had nothing.
A lot of people were like, so what is your favorite tequila? I was like, can we be better? Like, there's a new season in less than a month. Buck up, people.
I had no, like, I just saw blanks. Like, I just, nothing came to me.
You were starstruck by your own friends.
I know. I was just hanging back there with, like, Sheena and stuff, and I had no questions.
Like, Sheena's boyfriend is so attractive. It's to the point where it, like, makes you uncomfortable.
Well, it's like, he does look like, people are like, oh, he's like a B-League Jason Momoa. And I'm like, no, he's like right up there with Jason Momoa, not a career,
exactly.
You know?
What? He's like a rugby player. No,
oh,
I don't
yeah.
know where he's from.
But he's like, he's like a...
built like a house.
He's like a man.
Sheena can climb him like a little koala. And
then, you know she does.
Yeah. She's like...
Listen to me sing.
They seemed super into each other. But it was classic Sheena because I was in line to get my book signed. It was like two people until me. And she cuts the line with six books to get signed for like her family, her boyfriend, his family.
Oh, so which all means personalized autographs.
Yeah, so I was just like, classic Sheena doesn't give a fuck about the line. It's like, hey, so I have like seven books to get signed.
Hey, it's me, Sheena.
I did want to get, there were a couple topics and usually like every week before I get into the recap, I kind of just like riff on some things that I've been thinking about. And I want to kind of bring a couple things up before we get into the episode. First of all, I think the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel ads have gotten out of hand.
Isn't it weird that streaming has gotten so out of hand that the new season came out this week and, nobody's really talking about it. Like, it's just like,
well, duh.
Yeah, it's just like it's there, and if you want to watch it, great. But like, I don't think I'm ever going to watch it. And I liked it.
Yeah. I have a weird relationship. Not a weird relationship. I went to high school with Midge Maisel, aka Rachel Brosnahan. And when she first started getting famous, I was very deeply jealous. I will say that and I will own it. And I gave the show a try and I couldn't get into Gilmore Girls. I couldn't really get into Maisel. And that's, Rachel does a great job. That's not why. I just couldn't get into it. But every time I turn on my TV, it's like an ad that's like, "You'll be swell. You'll be great." And it's like Mrs. Maisel like twirling around in a jacket with a bag being like, "Let's go get him." And it's just like, enough. It's too much.
And also, I mean, if I'd lived in that time period, like what if you were the comedian that were like, "She sucks. She's not funny. Like, I don't like her." Like, you know, you're allowed to think that comedians aren't funny, right?
No, everyone loves Midge Maisel. You have to love Midge Maisel.
Obviously, but it's I've never heard of her besides the show.
Every ad, it's like, "Put on your Sunday clothes when you feel down." And it's like the bright colors and the jacket and the twirl and the plane. And I'm like, I can't.
I don't watch the show. Does she get like, is there like a Harvey Weinstein character of the 40s that hits on her and stuff?
No, she's just like, "Well, I just don't know what to do with my ex-husband." Like, that's like,
"We're doing it for the ladies."
Yeah, I don't really know. I only watched season one and then I was like, I think I'm good. But I can't turn on my TV. And maybe it's like one of those things where like, just because I know her and I'm like, "Holy fuck, I know that person." Every time I see an ad, maybe I just like notice them more. There might be just as many ads for every other show out there. But I do feel like everywhere I turn, it's like, "Put on your Sunday."
Well, do you have a Fire Stick?
Yeah.
Because that's why I have a Fire Stick. So every time it comes on. But my dad, does your dad do this where they're retired and he just discovered like streaming in the last year? So he talked to me like a couple weeks ago and he goes, "Have you seen that Marvelous Miss Maisel?" And I go, "Yeah, I watched first season." He goes, "I watched all of it last night.
All of it.
Stayed up all night." And I'm just like,
every season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was only two at the time. So he was like,
was lit on Midge.
But also, like, I mean, if you're retired, don't say stuff to your kids about like being able to spend all night watching a TV show. Like, I'm at work.
Raging with Maisel. I'm having a great time. You're just jealous that you couldn't binge two seasons of Maisel. 100%.
There's no doubt in my mind that I'm jealous.
You're so good at just sitting still and watching TV in a way that I really admire. I can't do that.
Are you kidding me? Yes, you are.
No,
you're always watching something.
I can do it for like an hour or two at a time. But, like, I can't like binge something. I'm really bad at it. And then when I do, I feel like a piece of shit.
Oh, I wrote this. The 2019, one of the things I owe to you is that you are the first person that ever has made me watch Coyote Ugly.
Oh my God, I was literally thinking about that this morning.
And by the way, you fell asleep while I watched it, but I watched it and then I petted Lillian. But it was like, I've seen it 20, that's like, what is it, 20 years old or something like that?
Oh yeah.
I know, like, John Goodman, and I mean, it's just, it was
He's
a lot.
Violet, my daughter.
Yeah, they're like,
she's like, "Dad, don't do the laundry." Speaking of Jersey, it was South Amboy, New Jersey.
I mean, the concept of that movie is so insane that, like, it's like, "You gotta come to this bar, ladies dancing on the bar."
Yeah, and like people, spraying water on themselves.
Yeah, pouring shots down your throat. Like,
and the guys are like, "Ugh."
And then John Goodman walks in. It's not a strip club, mind you. It's just people dancing on the bar, and he's like, "God damn it. Yeah, not my little girl."
Wait, remember the scene where they like make the guys strip and it's like that song that's like, "Dun, dun, 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 dun." It's a bad impression of the song, but it was playing in my workplace this morning and I can't think, like, I can't hear it without thinking about the like Australian guy stripping and then at the end John Goodman like wants to strip and he dances on the part of that song.
I'm gonna meet you halfway, daughter. I'm gonna take my top off.
The other thing I wanted to ask about was, what was your college monologue? Do you remember like your go-to monologue?
Yeah, I had, there was a,
we both went to theater school, guys.
So there was a couple. I did "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do is oft interred with our bones, not with Caesar." You know, like, that would be like a Shakespearean one I would do. That or Bottom from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, that's when you're feeling like frisky.
Yeah, that's when I'm like, let's have fun with these guys.
Yeah.
And then my dramatic was, I think I did the Angels in America monologue.
Perestroika.
For Millennium Approaches with the Mormon about wanting to, I think it was like something like praying that I would just break into little pieces or something because I'm fighting my homosexuality.
Oh.
I think that was it. There was a couple. What was yours?
Mine was, okay, so first of all, there's one that I never did, but every other girl in my program did it, and it was that monologue where she's like, I want to live someplace, go someplace, I want fat cats and loaves of bread and there are trees. No son of a bitch cuts down trees where I live. Well, screw you. I'm going back to the Waffle House. Everyone did that one. I did the one from August Osage County where the daughter is like with the uncle and she's like, she's with the housekeeper. I forget her name, but she's like, my parents don't mind if I smoke pot. I did that one. And then I was told by an acting teacher in a program I did after college, he was really rude to me, not for this reason, but he was like, don't do that monologue ever again. You're too old for it. And I was like, listen, sir, that's hurtful.
I love when you're in college and you're like doing stuff. Like, but you are then doing things that are like for 50-year-olds.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I did a monologue.
Like, I'm Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman.
Yeah. Oh my God. There was one semester where I did a different monologue from August Osage County because I was like, I'm so cool. I do Tracy Letts. I do new works. And I did like Marianne Mayberry's part. And I'm like, she's like in her 40s. I'm like 20 and a half. Wait, what is that?
Now I'm having memories because I just thought of this other one I did about baseball, where it was about comparing a relationship to baseball. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the ball is waist high right over the plate, and you think, why can't I connect? But it's not that you whiff completely wildly. No, it's that you miss just enough, this much, enough to keep missing and missing and missing until you miss so often, so frequently, that you no longer want to step to the plate or pick up the bat or even play.
You're good at remembering.
No, I mean, that's like 20 years old in my memory.
Isn't it crazy though? Like, I remember doing that and I thought I was so good. And looking back, I'm like, I don't think I was very good.
No, because we're both doing it.
Because you're acting so hard.
Yeah, that's it.
You're like acting
so hard. I left it on the floor.
Yeah. You're like, I fucking killed it. I was just thinking about that today. I was like, picking college monologues was like so fucking stressful, but I also like miss it. I also, senior year, okay, this is a good segue into Jersey. I became obsessed with John Patrick Shanley. Like, I saw Moonstruck and I was like, I could play any woman in any Shanley play ever within age range. And so just every monologue, I just became this like boisterous Italian woman that was like, who's that over there? Is that Aldo? And I did like Italian American reconciliation for fucking everything. Or I did The Dreamer Examines His Pillow and I was just like a Shanley whore.
Because he did, he did Moonstruck, he did Danny in the Deep Blue Sea.
Yes, everyone does. Like, the other thing too is like every college kid thinks they're original and everyone does the same five monologues.
Well, that's like, and you learn all those plays then, and I couldn't tell you any real new plays now.
No.
Like, what are the college kids like thinking they're cool
I feel like
at
they're doing
now?
They're all doing like The Flick. Well, a few years ago, The Flick was really popular.
Yeah.
Or like anything by Clara Barron.
Like, she's, I was like, fave. I need to go see more theater, but then I'm like, who has the time for that?
I really want to be in You're in Town.
Not, oh, that'd be amazing.
I
want like,
to be in it. I want to be Little Sally. I was robbed in high school. Robbed!
Speaking of town, I hear Hades Town is really good. It's on Broadway right now. Yeah.
Let's all go. Guys,
I know.
Let's go on a listener trip. Let's all go to New York and
if
see
we were rich, I mean, it would be so cool to do fun things. That's a huge statement. If I was rich, it would be so cool to do fun things.
Fun shit. You know what I mean? Like, be like Jax Taylor. Buy people Christmas trees.
I'll do it. I'll buy you a Christmas tree. I did my best.
It's
I did
Christmas,
my best.
Okay? I did my best. I was getting scammed.
I have a girl on my podcast this week called The Prostitution Whore on Instagram.
Yes.
And she
tweeted at him.
She tweeted at him.
Lit.
Blocked her, of course.
Of course.
But because she was hearing that he had all of these unread messages that he wasn't even reading them or sending out trees. So
she
questioned
liar.
It. And I mean, I'm sure he got like Twitter, how that works is that like people that didn't even know Jax probably started tweeting.
Right.
Like, I want free shit.
And then he didn't.
Yeah.
It,
you're not going to open half that stuff.
Right.
But also Jax probably did it when he was drunk, offered out free trees
right.
and then woke up and was like, that's my fucking money. You know, I created that show.
I worked hard for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Was he at the launch party?
He was not at the party.
But Brittany was.
Brittany was there in a hot pink jumpsuit, and I turned to our friend Laura, and I said, she looks like Connie Britton in Dirty John.
That's
and
it.
We agreed, like, yes, but less rich.
And less talented.
Yeah, I mean, Connie Britton, you can't touch that woman. But, like, she had, like, a very, like, Deb in Dirty John energy to her, like, as far as her, like, Orange County, like, bright-colored aesthetic and just that kind of, like, smile but with, like, a desperation in her eyes.
Yeah, but, like, what was the conversation of, like, you fucking go, I'm not going, like,
know.
To Brittany and Jax.
I like the idea that he was secretly
because he was at home on Peloton. He was, like, doing a Peloton run during their party.
I think maybe, I mean, I'd like to think that they were... I don't, that's mean to be like, I like to think they were in a fight, but like, you know, that I like the idea of that drama, but like, I also like the idea of Tom and Ariana being like, we don't want your bad vibes at our party. Brittany, you can still come.
But see, they seem so cool that they would let anybody come.
Totally. I mean,
and Jack seems like such a dick that he'd be like, you tell them fuck off, Brittany. You tell them to their face.
Yeah.
You can go, but you tell them to fuck off.
And he basically like tells her to like Alex McCord it and go up to them and be like, I have a message. He never wants to see you or talk to you. Do you remember that? When Alex McCord is like, I have a message.
Yeah.
She's so rashy and just like, it's from Bethany to Jill. She never wants to see you or talk to you. And Kelly's like, that's creepy. That's weird. That's weird. No, that Alex, you are crazy. That is weird.
Dude, if I ever have a, if I ever have money or get invited to reality show parties, I'm going to carry an Aviva Drescher leg and just throw them at parties. Like, yeah. And just like,
throw it into the pool.
Just throw it and just have like, where did this leg come from?
Whoa.
Like,
it'll be, yeah. Where's Aviva?
I do make fun of her legs so much. And like, I don't mean it in like, I'm making fun of like crippled people, like at all. Like I'm making fun
no,
of Aviva.
The act of throwing your leg is
hilarious. It's so intense. Like that's, if that can happen, that means anything can happen.
It's nuts. It's really nuts. Should we get into the episode? Sorry for my little detour.
No, I mean, I can do that detour for like hours.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so we open on the episode and we're still in Jamaica.
Jamaica, man.
Yeah, it's like Jennifer. They show that clip every episode. I'm like, enough.
I'm Jennifer and her stand-up comedian. Like, Jennifer is wants to be a Marvelous Miss Maisel.
She wants, like, badly. Could never. Yeah,
yeah.
She's literally like, so I'm doing my roast. And everyone's like, okay.
But she really goes for it.
She really does go for it. We'll get there later.
Yeah.
Basically, the episode starts with, you know, like, Melissa's getting coffee, Teresa's working out, Jennifer is FaceTiming with Bill, and he's like, I have a little hangover this morning. And she's, like, asking about boys' night, and he's like, well, why wouldn't we get along? You girls have a little bit more of the cattiness.
What did you think of the boys? I like him, by the way. Should I like him, or is he...
I used to hate Bill, and now this season, like, he's fine.
He seems like he's really enjoying it in a good way, not enjoying it in a Beau Stassi way.
Like a sinister...
Like, he doesn't seem like he's, like, trying to get something out of it. He just seems like... You know what? This has opened up a new avenue in my life and I'm loosening up.
Yeah.
You know?
And he seems more present this season, like with his kids and the family. So I'm like, I'm good.
I still wonder what that pool house comment was about, though.
Wait, what?
Remember, they were like that when Jennifer's first season, mm-hmm. What's her name? I think Marge said, like, oh, we know what your husband does when he's away from home or something in the pool. And she's like, you don't fucking say my husband.
Yeah.
You know, a very Lisa Rinna, Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, totally. God, that's incendiary. Dolores FaceTimes David, which was shocking because, you know, we barely ever see him. And she's like, I woke up in a bad mood because of Jackie. And then she's like, hello, tell me about the day. And David's like telling her about his day. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing with that shirt on? And then he's like, Dolores, do me a favor. Calm down with I'm talking to him. Keep my eyes on the road because I, goodbye. And then he just like.
Yeah, it was like kind of aggressive because like, but also. Maybe if we want to take it seriously, maybe that's his favorite shirt. And she's like, get rid of that 15-year-old shirt.
I mean, like, Dolores is a little bit aggro about, like, making the decisions about the house, being like, I want this and I want that, but I won't move in unless there's a commitment. It's like, I just think she's a little bit, you know, I usually think the woman is right, but I do think Dolores just seems a little controlling and they don't seem like they're on the same page at all.
I don't consider it a loss, Dolores.
Okay, Jackie. Then Melissa FaceTimes Joe. She's like, I'm doing so good. I'm out here with my coffee and my eggs. And then he asks how Teresa's doing and they talk about the Joe situation. The appeal.
And then I love Gia getting on FaceTime
at Teresa.
Rutgers and then Jennifer coming in like, how's the guy situation over there?
And then Gia's like, I haven't seen anything too great yet. And then she's like, I cannot eat college food. I almost threw up.
Wait, what was your college experience? Because did we talk about this? Like I gained the freshman 50.
Oh,
like not 50 freshman. Pounds. Yeah. I exploded because
sorry,
I was not used to, I lived in Manzanita dorm at Arizona State University, Ivy League, and my parents, I guess there was like this, I didn't realize there was like a cafeteria attached to my dorm.
Oh, sure.
And I had one of those cards. You could just go in
Swipe
and they had like soft serve and stuff. And I wasn't used to not being at home. And I was like an insecure guy. And I took everything out on that soft serve and like free cold cuts.
Sure.
And I just gained so much weight, wow. Like a sickening amount of weight.
Hey, you do you.
No, don't tell people that you do you.
No, sorry. I'm not going to fat shame you as a freshman in college who like really liked soft serve. It happened.
But I was like, I just imagine the people that got used to seeing me by myself in a cafeteria. Just
yeah, like, oh, there's that soft serve guy.
It was like before cell phones. I was like reading magazines and stuff.
I thrived in a college dining center. I was obsessed. I would go on like lunch dates with my friends, like on different days of the week. I'd be like, Tuesday, I have lunch with Liz.
Yeah.
I have a sandwich and a salad. Friday is my cheat day. So I'd have like a piece of pizza and like a little cookie. I lost 15 pounds my freshman year because God. I just like dabbled in eating and had like a low-key disorder.
No, if you give me a chance to hide, I will hide and food will be my only friend.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Just like hide yourself.
Yeah, like I don't want to be like, if you give me a chance not to be around people, I will try to like lose myself in a crowd.
Oh my God. I would go to the dining center with my friend Brody and we would just like, one time we literally went for breakfast, ate breakfast, then drank Diet Cokes until like noon and then got lunch. Like we just hung out there talking all day. It was like being able to go to lunch every day, but you never had to look at the dollar sign. So it was like fun.
Brody sounds like a bully.
Brody's so just fun.
It sounds like a bully name, Brody.
Well, because you're thinking of Brody Jenner, but Brody Murray, yeah. My friend, he's amazing.
It's not.
Also, I went to Gelson's the other day, and the hot food bar literally reminded me of the college dining center, and I felt so
Except
soothed.
That it's probably way more expensive.
It is. Yeah. I felt really soothed. I went to the salad bar, and I like loaded up on vegetables, and then I like got a kombucha and left.
But that's by the pound, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like a $12 salad.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done it, but I had a great time.
I feel like every time you do a salad at one of those places, you got to look at those people and be like, really? For salad? Like you're charging $8 a pound?
Don't judge me. No, you mean the people who are selling the salad?
Yeah, not yeah. you.
I was like, look, I wanted the chicken, but I wanted the hard-boiled egg.
I feel like
egg.
They're really...
I wanted peas. I wanted croutons. Okay, so then Dolores is like, I don't know about yous, but I'm mad from last night. And then she's like, Melissa, here's the thing. No relationship should be this hard.
And then Melissa is standing up for Jackie completely, yeah. Which I have to hand it for Melissa, like, because Melissa usually backs down in those kind of situations, especially when Teresa's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. And I thought that was, I mean, it was only two sentences, but it still was something.
Yeah. then we cut to Margaret and Jackie's room, and Jackie's like, you know, I just want to have a fun day. And Margaret's like, well, she wasn't speaking for me or Melissa. And then Jennifer's like, then it cuts back to them, and Jennifer's like, I'm gonna be making some jokes tonight at dinner. And then Dolores,
yeah, like, she's like doing a bringer show at the Comedy Store. Yes. She's like, I gotta bring four friends, gonna try out new material.
Show. Yeah. And Dolores is like, well, you better just make sure you don't hurt somebody's feelings. And they show us Jennifer's shitty impression of Jackie for like the 75th time this season. Of her being like, Merriam-Webster. Like,
I hate those people funny. That don't like Jennifer's that like she's fine, she's funny or whatever. But like, I feel like any kind of comedian needs to have a healthy fear of when they do their comedy and not just like shove it down people's faces.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, like we're doing now, but
they're choosing to listen. You can hit still whenever.
But like Jennifer is just like the fact I don't trust people that are that ballsy with anything that they do in their life of like, I'm funny, check it out.
I literally. There are some LA friends that like I don't really hang out with anymore because every time they text me, they'd be like, hey, lady, how are you? I'm like, oh, good. How are
yeah.
you? Good. So my show's on Friday. I probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but it really gets me.
The best thing I ever did was stop really going on Facebook to check out all my invites to improv shows.
Because you're like, it just took up a lot of time and energy.
Yeah.
And mental space, I would imagine.
And they're improv. It's horrible.
They're improv shows. Yeah. The gals get ready to go swim with dolphins. And I wanted to ask you, would you want to swim with dolphins the day after falling in horse shit?
Yeah, I'm weird like that. I'll do it. Sure. I mean, like, is it free? Like, that's my main thing. Like, do I have to pay for it?
Yeah, I don't think I would.
I mean, but also, I looked up a little bit of this. Like, this is not, you know, like, have you heard the dolphin stories? Like,
no.
About, like,
are they, like, abused?
No, they're like, dolphins will, like,
they'll
rape.
Fuck you.
They'll rape people. Like,
that's scary.
Yeah. And, like, Whoa. This, that's why I heard, like, one of my friends sent me articles a long time ago about this. And that's why I got really weird when, like, they were making the dolphins kiss Teresa. And I was like, Teresa has a healthy fear of animals for a reason.
I have, like, a big fear of deep sea creatures, like in gen. Like, I wouldn't want to get into the ocean with any deep sea creature, even if it's like a nice one that smiles. Like,
are you a deep sea creature? Yeah. Well, then I can't get then in the water with you.
Get away from me. Yeah, I'm just afraid of all of them. I also loved when it kissed Teresa and she looked right into the camera and like cheesed.
I'm doing it.
It was like, it reminded you of like where Gia got her childhood modeling skills from. Just like, just smile big and pretty.
But also, fucking Teresa has been in prison and she's scared of like a dolphin.
That's fair.
Like, it makes, I mean, also, like, she's married to Joe. She's like potentially cheating and she's like, the dolphin's too much. Tell me.
I also thought it was funny how Dolores was like, hi guys, Aunt Dolores is here. And I was like, I love when people are so fucking nice to animals, but such dicks to people.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. I'm like, yes, we should all be nice to animals, but she was just a raging bitch to Jackie. And then I was like, oh, I just love animals. They're my happy place. Mm.
Yeah. And then if like the dolphin was wearing like a 15-year-old shirt, like, get rid of it. Yeah. Get rid of it.
What are you doing with that fucking shirt on? Then Jennifer gets like flipped off her board again and she totally eats shit. She's like, why does this always happen to me? And then
I'm shocked when Jackie got on though that they because Dolores was like, well, it's good that we're all having fun and laughing, but I was happy because I thought they were going to make a weight joke about Jackie of like, wow, that dolphin was really flinging Jackie around.
That would be so fucked up.
Well, it's not like they made a lot of those jokes.
I know. It's really awkward. It's like when that one housewife who didn't last more than one season on Beverly Hills, who was like somehow tied to OJ, she would always comment on Rhea, and she's like, she doesn't eat. She doesn't eat. And it's just like awkward because it's like,
do girls do that with other girls? Like, do you clock that with just people you just meet? Like, I'm noticing a food issue.
I've like noticed a food issue only because I've had food issues. So it's kind of like, I see what you're doing, but also it's like, if I were going to mention that to someone from a place of concern, I wouldn't like half joke about it on camera at a thing. I'd be like, hey, I'm like kind of
concerned.
Yeah,
wait till the cameras are off.
Yeah, hey, she doesn't eat. She never eats food. Like, I wouldn't. I think that's deeply insensitive, but yeah. I
mean, yeah, which you have to be deeply insensitive to be on the show. TV. Yeah,
exactly. Then Margaret and Jennifer go to the gift shop. And Margaret pulls out this like salt and pepper shaker and she's like, Jennifer, look at that salt and pepper shake. A little pig's having sex. I feel like that's me and Joe. And Jennifer's like, oh my God, that is so cute. And she makes little pigs fuck.
I love that like they have a healthy sex life, but I don't need to hear about it. I don't need to imagine Dolores fucking and getting fucked and like.
You mean Margaret?
Margaret, yeah. Like, any of them really, but true. Like Margaret, Margaret's a beautiful lady, sure. I just don't want to, I don't know, like. I don't know. I'm not sex shaming, am I? Is this sex positive?
No, I think they're hot, and I think Joe is so hot, and like I do want to imagine them having sex.
I would rather imagine those pig shakers having sex.
I just love how like they're the ugliest, tackiest item you could.
Come on, give it to me. Give it to me. Yeah.
And then Jennifer's just like, oh, those are so beautiful. Then Melissa and Jackie go to lunch, and they order drinks immediately. And then Melissa's like. Oh, Jackie was like, me and Margaret miss you in the room. And Melissa's like, is she naked? She's always naked. And I just love that Margaret's so like, I feel the opposite about you. I love that she like always wants to be naked and like always wants to fuck. I want to be like that.
Well, that's awesome. Like that's really cool, I guess. But like, I will never be the guy that walks around naked. Mm-hmm. Like I will never, like if I was Brad Pitt or like one of those people, maybe. But like I have a healthy sense of shame because I'm Catholic and like I don't need to walk around naked anyway. Like even by myself, I'm like, put some clothes on, dude.
You know, I am kind of similar where in theory I love the idea of just like walking around naked, but I will put on like a little schmatty, like big t-shirt or like a little like
I only love DJ the idea set. If I'm ripped. Like if I'm ripped, I'm be like, yeah, I love this idea.
Yeah, and just like
if I'm me, like I don't want to see like love handles.
Dick out like yeah. All the time.
Just brings me back to the cafeteria when I'd eat soft serve naked. Why is that guy in here naked? Yeah.
The naked soft serve guy, he's back. and he's reading a magazine.
Do you ever think that Austin Powers, remember the Austin Powers, they would start those movies where you do like the naked dance and then like fruit would be covering.
Oh, like when he's in the buffet and he's like, like a sausage right in front of his dick.
There's no way those scenes would play now at all. Because you would be literally horrified of like, man, oh, he's rubbing his thing up against me.
It's
like
fucked up.
It would be not funny.
I know. It's true. Then Dolores and Teresa are at the spa, and I want to say that I love on a girls' trip when like you have a minute to go to the spa because it's like quiet and chill, and you can like be by yourself for part of it. Like girls' trips in general, Like, honestly, no, that sounds bad. I don't want to say girls' trips. I just want to say trip, like group trips. Like, yeah. I hit a wall where I'm like, everyone get the fuck away from me. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just need like 45 minutes alone to like stare at the wall.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine. Yeah. I used to work at a spa, and like we would have the men's area and the women's area. Yeah. And I mean, I love like girls always go into the spas together, you know?
Yeah.
And guys, I think I told you that it was just like, my unofficial job was just to make sure guys didn't hook up with other guys.
Totally.
And it was like a really nice spa, but guys would go in, like leave their wives at the fucking thing and go in and be like a gay circus in there, you know?
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. If you wore your key on your left ankle, it meant you wanted to, like, it was crazy. It was the worst job I've ever had in my life. And I was so ashamed after college to like, but you could walk with like $200 in tips, you know?
Oh, wait, were you a massage therapist?
No, I was just pouring water and handing towels. Wow. But we all caught on that if you would be like, hey, I'm going to go away for 10 minutes, you would get like,
they would tip you because they're like, you gave us space to fuck.
I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. The women concierges got nothing.
That is wild. Yeah. Also, Margaret and Jennifer are in the store, and Jennifer's like, do you notice that Jackie has a thing with food? And Margaret's like, I just feel bad. Her anxiety's up because of Dolores.
I mean, do you, like, we've talked about the food thing ad nauseum. Like, what do you mean? Like, you know.
I know.
What? Like, and yes, we all know.
Right, like, she had an eating disorder. She's talked about
yes,
it.
Yes, I mean, like,
her alone.
I was like, why is Jennifer bringing this up? Like, did you notice? Like, she just noticed something new. I got confused.
Me too, and I'm also just like, you're never, like, an eating disorder, I think, is like an addiction where it's like you're never just fully cured. It's something you deal with like
yes.
day in and day out your entire life. So it's like, Jennifer, leave her alone. And then let's see.
I wonder if producers make her ask that or if she asked that to be a bitch because she's like, I'll throw this in just to get a little dig, you know?
Yeah, totally. I'm just like, leave her alone. And then, God, this is just a lot of cutting back and forth.
Yeah, because this was like Summer Lovin'. They were like, bam, bam, bam. There was like three groups of people. You had Melissa and Jackie, or Jennifer says Jackie has a thing with food. No shit. Then Teresa says she should really watch what she says to people, talking about Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
If you're my friend and there are cheating rumors, you should shut the fuck up, she says.
Oh, totally. Teresa's like over it.
Which always means when somebody says you should shut the fuck up, it means they usually did everything that you should shut the fuck up about.
Totally.
Like, there's no denying that you did it.
Like, you should probably shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
And then Teresa's like, well, you know, Margaret makes jokes too. And it cuts to last week. And she's like, oh my God, a sign just for me. that sign that's like, if you want to fuck a 21-year-old, like, get him drunk or like something like that.
I love those ladies because they all do the thing where they can extend a vowel sound like me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really do
that.
But they do that all the time.
Oh, hey, Trey.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. And then Teresa, Dolores is like, Teresa calls Danielle sensitive. I call her batshit crazy, but I'm not going to tell Teresa what to think. I just like how Danielle's just sort of like the ghost of Danielle is really in this entire season. Like, she's not quite there, but like in spirit, she's there.
But I love also that everybody has such a healthy or unhealthy fear of Teresa because they know her brain doesn't connect with things.
Totally.
So she's wired so poorly that they don't know, like, she's the Hulk, like, what's going to set her off? Because, like, things that shouldn't set normal people will set her off, like, butter. Like,
yeah, totally.
So they're all, like, always on tiptoes about what could possibly do it. I don't like that dynamic.
Well, that's what I think is funny about Dolores being like, Jackie's so high maintenance and so sensitive. I'm like, being Teresa's friend looks like the most exhausting task in the entire world.
Because you can't have any real conversation with somebody that...
She's just like, you gotta agree with me or I'm a fucking bitch.
The one thing that I cannot... Like, the one thing I hand it to Tree about is just her wanting to keep that family together. And that's like the only thing I can give her huge credit for. The rest, I'm just like, how do you go through the world?
Totally. Totally. Then we also have Jennifer and Margaret, or Margaret asks, Jennifer, she's like, how's preparing for the roast going? And Jennifer's like, oh, you know, it's going good. And Jackie and Melissa think that Jennifer just like dies for Dolores and Teresa. So they don't think that she's going to roast them at all. She thinks she's only going to roast Margaret, Jackie, and Melissa.
The show missed a real opportunity to watch Jennifer's prep for the roast.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have seen like a Joker moment in the mirror, like her putting on makeup.
Well, she had a little bit of one where she was like practicing. Like,
yeah.
Getting ready.
But I would have loved the trying jokes out. Like, no, that's shit. That's shit.
Like getting frustrated.
Yeah. Like trying the imitations.
No. Got to rework it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Where's the Alex Borstein character when you need her from Mrs. Maisel? Being like, no, kid, you gotta be big. You gotta change your jokes.
Which, by the way, this is for you. I think you should do this. Is that, you know, that Bethany monologue from this past season of Roni? You know
what?
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to do that. I mean, like, you should treat that. I was thinking, like, how you could do it. If you did a live show ever, you should do that as a theater monologue. Like, I'll be doing two pieces this evening, and you go out, and that's one of the pieces, you know?
Yeah, it's like a Birdman moment where I just go and the lights are like burning on my face and I just like close my eyes and I just fall into the creative abyss and do my Bethany monologue. Hi, I'm Hannah and this is Bethany at dinner. What? Is that the camera? You ran in a negligee.
Scene.
Guys, I really want to do a live show in 2020, but I can't do that until I have more listeners. So tell
your friends.
What
we should do? Eventually, or maybe even another one, we should team up and do a night of show, or a combo podcast of like, Brown Eyed Unicorn with So Bad It's Good with something else, and do a multi team up thing.
Like a job fair.
No, not a job fair, like a party, because these are all similar people. It doesn't, you know.
Who appreciate the same shit.
Well, I was thinking about this idea when I was hiking the other day. I said, like, podcasts are getting so big, like, Watch What Crappens is huge. Are they eventually going to do, like, normal bands where you have an opening podcast that's a smaller podcast?
Totally, like, there's, like,
warming up the audience, you know? Like, nobody, like, hey, this podcast is pretty good, you know? Like,
I would take that job. I would love that job.
I'm going to offer it to everybody.
Yeah, it would be an honor and a privilege. Yeah. We cut to Frank at Cucina's with David.
I'm going to ask you something. Yeah.
Frank orders lemon with his water, which I thought was adorable. And he had a really nice... And David slithers in, and they order...
It is a Voldemort kind of feel.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Frank. Frank gets the chicken franchise, and David gets the veal Sorrento.
Looks very good.
They bring up the house, and Frank reveals that at first he was reluctant to build the house because he didn't want it to affect their friendship. And the hardest part for Frank is Dolores.
Dolores, I've been doing this for a long time with Dolores.
David's like, you know, I love her to death, but she changes everything day to day when it comes to decisions about the house. I know it's not a good impression, but like his energy.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Slithery. It's reptilian.
But I love that, you know, the crux of this scene is that they're really like, Frank's trying to get information about Dolores, but in doing so, they're really just shit-talking women. Like, you know how women can be. They're fucking idiots. Fucking bitches. And you know what? We gotta tell them what they want, but sometimes we gotta give them what they want. So are you willing to do that with the house?
And then he's like, well, I understand what you're saying, but my first love is my job, so we'll just take it step by step. Doesn't give him an answer at all.
Yeah.
Vague as fuck.
And he also did like, I guess we have to double team her.
Yeah. What we gotta do is we gotta double team her. So with that in mind, where do you see you two going?
And then Frank basically is like, well, I think she's gonna be really fucking disappointed that there's no commitment. And then David's like, Frank, she can't even pick out tile yet, so a ring is... And he eats his veal cutlet.
But you know what's surprising about it? He doesn't seem scared of Frank at all.
No.
He did, like, not at all.
Well, Frank has Zeus from Hercules energy, and it's not the first time I've said it on this podcast. It's probably not the last. But he has this, like, jolly energy.
Yeah.
Knowing full well he could snap David in two, but, like, I don't think David gives a fuck.
Well, like I said at the beginning, he's on human growth hormone.
Yeah.
I'm, you know. Wait, are you a Frankie lover?
I like every man on this show.
Okay.
Honestly, like, I have... Joe Bonino is, like, hands down my favorite. Joe Gorga, like, excites me sexually. I would say he and Melissa both excite me sexually the same amount, which is a lot.
It's hard to go back and see Joe Gorga with the salt and pepper hair or just the pepper hair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, the... You know, because it's, like, he looks so good with the bald that, like, it's so hard to go back and watch him struggling to keep the hair on.
Totally.
You know?
I just think he looks hot no matter what, though.
I just like his attitude, his energy, you know?
Yeah, totally. And then Frank Catania is, like, a good time. But yeah, Joe Bonino is my all-time fave. And like truly like last season when he like got in Marty's face, when Marty like called Margaret ugly, I was like, that's so fucking hot to me. Like he's like, I'll beat the shit out of you if you talk shit about my woman. You know what I mean? Like I think that's hot. I like a protective man. Not like a creepy like Mark Wahlberg in Fear kind of protective way, but like just like I'm going to stand up for her if you're being a fucking dick.
Oh, I'm a what's his name that's not on the show anymore. The husband of the cookie baker.
Richie.
Richie
Wachili.
Richie's great, yeah.
Ho, ho, ho! Happy Hanukkah! Or should I say, Hanukkah. It's that time of the year, y'all. It's that time of the year to dust off your elf on the shelf or your mensch on the bench or whatever the fuck and start picking out holiday gifts for your loved ones or your liked ones or yourself. whatever. And what better place to do that than Totally Good Time? Totally Good Time is my favorite company. It is a website that features a variety of adorable pop culture merch, from Sex and the City tees to Real Housewives merch. And they're also currently featuring some incredible holiday themed merch. I gave Danny Pellegrino a sweatshirt for his birthday that said Mariah Carey invented Christmas, and it is so buttery soft and fucking cute. It looks great on everybody. They also have a sweatshirt right now that has like 5 different quotes from the holiday on it. And we all know how I feel about the holiday. Fuck Jasper Bloom. If you have a Jasper Bloom this holiday season, you got to kick him to the curb. But more importantly, with my code Hannah20, you get 20% off at checkout. That's right, 20% off. So head to totallygoodtime.com and treat yourself or someone else to the gift of pop culture. Hannah20 at checkout. Okay, love you. Bye. Then we return to the girls getting ready, and Jennifer's practicing her impressions, which was kind of a yikes moment for me. And they all arrive in like the bigger suite, and they're like, hi, oh my God, hi, we're all wearing flowers. Oh my God, you look so beautiful.
Do girls, that's what I meant to ask you, do girls, like when you guys go on vacations, like with Tropical, is it like a girl code where you need to get a flower dress?
I mean,
is that like,
it's not code, but I feel like a lot of my friends, I'm not gonna be like women in general, but I feel like for me and my friends, like we kind of like to dress to theme. So like when I was in Tahoe over the summer, it was like snuggly stuff, kind of like muted earth tones. And if I were going like on a tropical vacation, it would be like neons, it would be flowers, it would be like fun tropical vacation.
San Quentin, like orange, yeah, stripes.
Yeah. For sure. And a spray tan, obviously. And then Margaret's like, I am so excited for the roast, Jennifer. You better bring your A game. And then they roll up to this very Lisa Vanderpump-esque like dinner spread with an obscenely giant centerpiece of pink roses.
And way too excited of steel drummers.
I know.
Like, they're like dancing around like, dun, dun, dun. It's like stomp, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm like, whoa, chill out.
Like, and then Melissa's like, why is he so happy? I want to smoke what he's smoking. And they were really excited to be steel drumming.
Yeah.
And they bring up Cabo from last year and how Danielle, Margaret's like, Danielle is cuckoo town. And then Teresa's like, well, Margaret thinks she didn't actually love Marty, but when she walked down the aisle, I felt like she really did love him. And then Melissa's like, you're going to spend your entire life defending Danielle? And Teresa's like, fuck you, bitch.
I love every time you do a scene, I keep thinking it's the beginning of a musical number. Like, Ada, fuck you, bitch. Dunk, dunk, yeah. Dunk. Like, yeah, it sounds like, it sounds like the cast album of something. You
like
know?
That song from Charlie Brown where it's like, why are you talking to me? Why are you talking to me? And then Kristen Chenoweth was like, my new philosophy. I'm like a secret. I'm killing him.
Oh my God.
I'm killing him with my comedy.
You're Jennifer, like Jennifer in
Jennifer
her prime.
Jennifer, step aside. Yeah. Midge and Jennifer, back the fuck off. Then Teresa reveals that Danielle banged Marty after their separation and after being engaged to someone else. And she heard Danielle talk to Marty when they were on the phone together. And Margaret's like, I do not believe that. She's a liar.
Marty would not do this.
Yeah. Margaret gets super defensive. What did you think of this whole like thing?
Okay. So I thought this was such a great scene for so many levels because it shows so much about Danielle, about guys in general, mm-hmm. is that he definitely did hook up with her again.
Oh, for sure.
But she definitely, I mean, this is where she shines. Like she, I hate to say this, ladies, I don't know, but Danielle traps men. Mm-hmm. She uses her sexual wiles and she knows what she's like. She knows what she's doing.
I want to know what she does sexually because like,
I think it's mentally. I think it's like, oh, I'm going to give you the best thing you ever had. I bet the sex is subpar, but the talking, the lead up to it is like, you know, you can't live without me. You know, you can't live without me.
Crazy.
Then like, so she traps them in a true guy. It just shows how guys are so fucking idiotic because guys do have that weak moment where they're like, well, sex is fun. It can be like
you rationalize.
Yeah.
Crazy
like,
shit.
Well, you know, I mean, I did have feelings at one point.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just keep, she says we can just have sex and just be friends. Like, so that I definitely think he did it, but he's embarrassed. Like you could tell he was embarrassed when he got that call of like, what?
What?
Okay, yeah, have a good time.
And I like when Dolores goes, a stiff dick has no conscience. So John Patrick Shanley right now. And yeah, so Margaret like calls him and she's like, so Danielle's spreading rumors that you guys are begging. And he's like, what? And then she's like, I'm always defending your honor. I just want you to know.
I know. That was great. Good for Margaret having like some kind of ethics and morals or
And then Jennifer's like, how can you be friends with him? I mean, the things he said. And Margaret's like, well, he apologized that like 2 days later. So they're like besties now. And then
I'm not a fan of Daniel. I think Daniel's a fucking loon, and it upsets me so much that Tree defends her in any fashion. Did you see though when she calls Tree like she used a photo from the Daily Mail?
Oh like my God, where like her face that, is like,
That's her face. And I was
just
like,
smiling like,
does Teresa like look at the Daily Mail and they go like, this is a nice one for my photo
that's
book.
Cute.
Yeah.
Make that my background for Danielle.
But also I find it hard to believe that Teresa even knows how to do a background on her phone. Like,
hey,
that,
Gia.
That, yes, that's
Gia,
it.
Gia, how do I do it?
Yeah.
She's like,
that's
Mom,
it.
I've shown you this a million times. And Melania's like, Mom, you're a fucking idiot.
Why don't you get along?
Yeah. Wake up in the morning thinking about so many things. I just would think again better. It's not funny. She starts crying. They're
Dude,
like, oh.
I've been trying to get the cast album of that season because I wanted to use that as an opening song. And
Wake
I've been
up
having.
In the morning.
Because she didn't. Officially recorded, unfortunately, but I remember seeing that. This is before any like pod, this is like 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember I was like, oh my God, like, am I seeing this? This is so
everything,
bad. Like, this
yeah.
is everything. Like, I loved it so
Would you
much.
Say it's so bad, it's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was so bad and she was so committed. And Joey was like,
yeah.
Oh. We're putting this girl through hell, you know? Like,
yes, that was a really good
it was
impression.
Awesome.
I like when she's like, Melania, you're so good when you do your gymnastics. She like breathes because she gets nervous. She's like, sometimes you need to rest your toes. Melania, I love you so much, girl, and don't you forget.
Bad singers always go,
Melania. It's because she was nervous.
That was it. You could hear the quiver in her voice.
Yeah. Wake up in the morning. and then, you know, fucking Melania, as she does, you know, busts through and is like, I can't wait to grow up. I got things to blow up. Like, she has no stage fright. Not at all.
It's all funny until she's like hooked on lean or something.
Oh, totally. That's so sad.
Sorry.
So then, basically, they have this conversation with Marty, and then Jennifer's like, let's take a vote. Everyone who believes he did it, and like, raise your hand, and everyone raises their hand, and Margaret gets like super lit. She's like, you believe in some trap? And Dolores is like, one pussy could pull a freight train. She had a lot of little phrases about dick and vagina this episode.
Very Maisel.
Yeah, very Midge Maisel could never. And then Danielle is like calling Teresa immediately. And Teresa's like, oh my God, Danielle's calling me. Oh my God, I'm in trouble.
That's great. Oh, wow.
And then Teresa picks up and she's like, Danielle's like, Marty, just talk to me. And she's like, well, are you okay with me talking about this in front of the girls? And Danielle's
no.
like, nope, I am not. And she's like, you know I'm not talking about this. And then just hung up. And she's like, oh, my God.
I did it.
Danielle
did it.
Being mad at you is truly terrifying. Because, like, she could just, like, send a hitman to murder you.
Yes, totally.
She'll send that Danny guy from season 2.
If I ever do write a book, I am going to call it Cop Without a Badge.
Yeah.
And I'll have like a similar cover.
Oh, totally. You
yeah.
have to.
Like it won't be anything to do with
It'll
cops or
like
badges. It'll just be what I call my book.
Also, you guys, if you're not listening to Sexy Unique Podcast, you need to right now because Larmarie Shane Halls, the host, is hilarious and amazing and a friend of the pod. And then Carrie O'Donnell is her co-host and they're recapping season 2 of Real Housewives of New Jersey when Danielle is like peak Danielle trying to kill people and up against the Manzos. So go listen to that. It's
up
amazing.
Up against the Manzos.
Then Melissa is just like over it. She's like, enough. I want to be roasted. And Jennifer's like, okay. So I'm going to do a little skit and you got to guess who I am. And she's like stumbling already. And she does it.
But she does it. And I don't even think the content is really what matters here. The thing that matters is that like, I do have to say it was better than most things I see on SNL on a weekly basis.
That's not untrue.
Like it's not, it wasn't horrible. Like it didn't set the world on fire, but it could have been so much worse.
No, I was expecting it to be like as cringy as like Jax's roast when the cast of Vanderpump Rules is like, we're going to tell some jokes. And like none of them were funny at all. Like I thought I'd be cringing, but honestly, like they were pretty accurate. I was like, okay. And then Tracy's like, oh my God. She's so fucking
She's doing it. Excited. And nobody really got their feelings hurt, which I think was the big, huge takeaway.
I know. And Jennifer, you know, she took some risks. She talks about how, like, Dolores is always alone, even though she has 2 men in her life. She talks about how, like, Jackie doesn't want to eat food, and she's obsessed with food. And Teresa's like, oh, my. Teresa was, like, fangirling over Jennifer. She's like, that was fucking amazing.
Well, that's, like, the thing where, like, if Teresa had a couple drinks that night, what we probably didn't see of, like, she probably was like, you're a star.
Yeah.
Like you can go far. Like I've seen real performers and you're like them.
Right. Like when you get like really drunk with your friends. I mean, I don't know about you, but like with me and my girlfriends when we get drunk, you just like get really close to their face and you're like, you're amazing. Yeah. And you can literally do whatever you fucking want. And you're not going to be
huge. You're like, going to be
huge. This is just the beginning, baby. This is just the beginning, baby. I become Alex Borstein from Midge Maisel, and I just encourage all my friends to pursue their dreams.
Go down in flames. Yes.
No, I never wish failure on my friends. No, no, but no. I think if Jennifer were to pursue, like, I think she could have, like, a Countess Luann trajectory if she really grinds at it. At least on, like, in Atlantic City.
But why? I mean, at this point, how the Luann thing is going to go, though, it's going to be, like, the bands of the 90s, like Third Eye Blind and stuff like that, where they have to start, like, teaming up with other 90s bands.
Yes.
So I think eventually you'll see a show where Jennifer opens, does a tight 15, uh-huh. goes into Lou, and then maybe something. Like, it's going to be more of, like, a Lilith Fair, but with Housewives.
I would pay so much money for that. Then Dolores tells Jackie that she's sorry about the previous night. She's like, you know, I said some things I didn't mean. And, like, I just want to forget about the weekend and go back to the way things were. And Jackie's like, well, I don't really know how you feel about me, but, like, it's fine. We don't need to keep rehashing it. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, so, Jen, did you have a fun birthday weekend?
That was it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, let's break glasses. And Teresa just starts chucking glasses. And he's like, appa, mazel tov.
Now it's a party.
Yeah. Then back in Jersey, where everyone's home, the trip's over, and Teresa's like, girls, Gabriella, Gia, Melania, Adriana. It's like on Dancer, on
Dancer, I know, seriously.
On Vixen. And then Adriana leaps into the room like a little woodland sprite. She's so cute.
Leaps into the fucking gymnasium. That house is so, wait, I mean, like, why? I mean, I guess a point of pride and not wanting to screw up the girls like what they're used to, but like maybe they shouldn't be used to stuff like that.
That ship has sailed. Like, scale the fuck back. If like, you're putting all your money into this case.
5 years and
it was pretty wild. And then they're looking through photos as a family because Teresa like wants to put them all in albums and wants the girls to remember like a happy time when they were like a normal family, which like honestly, like I guess I get what she was trying to do, but it almost felt like salt in an open wound because they're like, oh, look, like this is when we were at this vacation and everyone was together. It made me sad.
But it gave you a real glimpse into what I don't believe was just for the cameras. I really do believe that Tree probably does that on a weekly or bi-weekly basis of like, come on, let's look at the photos from Easter 2003, you know?
And she's like, we'll be happy again, you guys. He's going to win. Like, it's going to be fine. And Gia asks Adriana, she's like, do you remember like a lot of times like with dad? And Gabrielle's like, probably not.
Yeah, that was like, I mean, I couldn't really make tons of jokes because it was just kind of dark.
I know, it was really sad.
I felt really bad.
How do you feel when Gia's talking head pops on the screen? Because I get really excited for her.
Like what? Like you're doing good? Like
I'm just like, I love, she's so articulate and she's so smart.
Yeah,
she's so well-spoken.
Where did she get it?
That's the thing. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they did, but Gia has turned into like a really fantastic young woman in my opinion. And I want her to thrive. And so when her talking head comes up, even though she's talking about sad things, I'm just like, you go, Gia, you get yours.
But the thing that worries me about Gia is, and I find this with sometimes the Italian heritage, like, you know, is that she is so family driven that I hope it doesn't hold her back from anything that she needs to be doing with her own life.
Totally.
You know, like that I think what the great thing about Italian heritage is that there is such a premium put on family, even sometimes when it's not deservedly there.
Right.
Like, you know, I think the parents really screwed them over for a lot of reasons, but you know, she seems so committed and so like family is thicker than whatever. I get worried.
As thieves, yeah, we protect each other till the end.
You know, when I was gunning to be Albie Manzo's girlfriend about a year ago, I was thinking I would have to move to Jersey. Like, I could never get him to move to LA, and I would be giving up my entire career to be a Manzo.
I remember when you did that interview, and then you asked me if you should delete.
I was like, I have to take it down.
You should delete the pod. You delete the pods. That's so.
I deleted it
because you really thought there might be a chance.
No, I just didn't want the Manzos to find out and hate me, and then like maybe kill me, and then like they couldn't be my in-laws if I was like, Caroline's makeup looked like a clown in season one. But, you know, it wasn't great. And I did take it down. And I have to tell you guys, bar none, that is my biggest regret of 2018.
You can put it right back up.
2019. I don't know where the file is.
Okay, that's crazy.
I got to talk to my producer. Yeah. Shout out to Dylan. Anyways.
What up, D?
So then Dolores arrives at her and Frank's house. And she's wearing pants with slits in them, even though it looks freezing. And she's like, oh my God, Frank, you're taking down their tree. And he's like, I don't feel bad putting money into the yard because I'm staying at this house and you're not.
Or
whatever.
And he's like, I get attached to things.
Oh. And And Dolores is like, oh, what about the backyard? Because I'm going to take the deck down. And he's just like,
one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
Dolores. That's what I'm saying, though. She always like has like a to-do list thing. And I'm just like, girl, you're too lit. You need to calm down. And then Frank tells Dolores how he went out with David and asked about the commitment. And she's like, well, you know, it doesn't seem like you really got a real answer. But, you know, you don't put a deadline on stuff. And she's just making excuses for why David, like, won't give her a commitment yet. And she's like, well, you know, I'm content. And I know he wants to be with me. And I don't care what anybody said. And Frank's like, okay, if you say so. And she's like, if you say so, I know so. And she gets super defensive.
God.
And
we're best friends.
Yeah, they're like, we're besties. But then Frank is like, in my book, you're the best. Don't compromise. I thought that was cute.
Well, did you notice, and the next scene kind of too, because Joey comes in and talks to Tree about, like, you know, lowering her expectations.
Yeah.
The guys really, Frank and Joey in this came off really like level-headed, encouraging the women to listen to their own voices and to listen to their own hopes and dreams and all that stuff, which I found a very interesting and almost refreshing, even though in Frank's case, I almost think there is planting seeds of him playing the long game of eventually being with her.
I know. I'm like, just be together.
But I think he's playing this like, you know, you'll come around. Like, you know, I want to know what his dating situation is like. Is like, who's he bringing back to the house?
I don't know. I would not want to fucking mess with Dolores. I wouldn't date Frank just because I'd be afraid of Dolores.
But that's what I want to know, if he's spending the night at a bunch of, like, if he's going around town, what's he, you know, especially with some kind of celebrity, you know?
Right. I mean, I feel like he just like goes home and like drinks like a Celsius and goes to bed. Like, I don't feel like he like lives a really wild, crazy life. I think Dolores like keeps him busy enough.
Yeah.
But they are like in a total, like, some kind of wonderful rom-com where like he's the Watts and he's like just waiting for Eric Stoltz to like give up on Amanda Jones.
They should sell the sitcom right now.
I know.
Like, doctor, boyfriend, like son, like bodybuilder son, bodybuilder dad.
Totally.
They live in the same place.
And fucking Leah Remini will play Dolores.
Yes. It's like CBS would kill for this show.
Would it be a multicam, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah,
100%.
Sure, hands down. Then Nono is back. We're at Teresa's house and he's like, I want to look at women's magazine. And then Melania rolls up.
He has that one chair too. His chair is the left one.
Yeah,
at
the furthest. On the like breakfast island.
Yeah. This is Nono's chair.
Yeah. And Melania's like, we went on a walk. And he's like, looking for boys. He's like, ooh, like nothing gets past Nono.
Wait, this is what I said on my podcast, is that there seems to be somebody living in Nono that the only thing that communicates that he's trapped in there is the eyes. Because Nono's eyes is always like.
Yeah, they're always huge.
So I always think somebody's trapped in Nono.
Like, help me, get me out.
Exactly. It's like the movie Get Out. Like, somebody's in there.
Or like the end of Skeleton Key. Where they're like, good night, child. And it's like Kate Hudson's like stuck in someone's body or something.
Or like Nono turns around and like Michael Jackson Thriller eyes.
Yeah, just like, they're like glowy. Then James Leonard, a.k.a. Jim, Teresa's lawyer, comes. And I just said I love a lawyer with a gold chain and a hoodie.
I feel like watched his fucking hairline upsets me so bad because he has those two spots that doesn't grow hair.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've known James now for like 5 or 6 years or seasons.
Yeah.
He's all like there. I really want to know like how much he's making. Like, has it been like.
Totally.
Because they were saying like money issues. And I'm like, well, this is your lawyer. You're like.
Right.
How much are you earning, James?
Right. I know. You're like, handle the hairline, handle your finances, James. Yeah. They reveal that this morning Joe's appeal got denied and Joe Gorga arrives looking like a snack. And Nono is like, I'm cooking Italian pork chops.
And then Boozer. I was like, my big takeaway from that little thing was like, oh, that looks like a sensible portion. Like, yes, I was like, because I was like, I would cook all the pork chops. He
totally
looked like he cooked one and then cut up some veggies.
Yes, he made like a meal just for Nono.
Yeah,
for
I was like, I've got to learn to make meals just for Ryan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the trope of Nono cooking to be soothed. Like, this entire season, he's just in the background, like, messing with
like
the
pan. Just, like, he was putting some olive oil on the pan, and I was just like, this is not how I cook at all, you know?
He's such a cutie.
I open the Trader Joe's bag of salad, and, like,
and you go, here we are.
Yeah, we're done.
Teresa breaks the news to Joe Gorga, and then she's like, you know, I told Gia, but then I told Gabriella, so Gia wasn't the only one who knew. And he's like, well, you should tell them so they don't hear from anybody else. She's like, I didn't tell Melania. And then Jim explains, like, all the shit that went down in the case. And, you know, lawyer stuff confuses me, but basically he's just like, Joe's fucked. Like, he's totally fucked. And then Joe's like, well, what's the percentage of him coming home? And Jim's like, it's not good. I mean, given what we found out this morning, significantly less. And Joe basically asks, like, why continue to fight when you're, like, financially fucked from this case? And he's like, if you don't have money, like, this is going to be way harder. And you have to think now as a business person that daddy's not coming home, which was harsh, but yeah. True. And then Teresa's like, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I've had financial stress before. And, like, you can't put a price tag on bringing daddy home.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I could. Like.
And again, like, if you're going to stay in that fucking house, it's kind of like you have to pick a lane. Also, you're, like, sending, like, Gia to college. Like, it's just a lot.
I mean, you... this is, like, I give it up to Tree, like, pulling yourself out of debt, all that stuff. But I don't, like... downsize. You can still have a nice house with maybe four rooms, not 300 rooms.
Totally. I mean, like, also it just makes me sad. Like, if you're going to, I don't know anything about immigration, so I'm not trying to, like, shit on anyone who has to deal with that. I know it's, like, insanely complicated and, like, scary. But, like, I just, if you're a dad and you're starting a family here, like, how did that slip through the cracks? Like, how did you not figure it out as you had, like, four kids? Like, it just makes me sad. And then the episode ends with a close-up of their family photo.
Yeah, which was, like... kudos, bravo.
It was
dark. You guys really did it. Like, hey, get a shot of that photo with the family in it. We'll get to that at the very end.
It was just a bummer.
Yeah.
And then next week we see it's Easter. Jackie's dad says fucked up things about her weight and eating disorder. And then Joe Judice.
It worked.
Yeah, he's like, well, you know, you're an inspiration. And it, like, shows.
I think it was worth it.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
He's like, dad, I almost died.
Yeah, it was worth it.
And then we see Joe Judice on the phone with the family. And they're like, just keep it together. He's like, fuck this. Like, he's so over it.
Oh, I need sex.
Yeah. And that was the episode. What'd you think of it?
It was good. Like, I mean, I watched it once just to let it wash all over me, you know, and mm-hmm. I was like so about it. But then when I took notes on it, mm-hmm. I liked it so much more. And yeah. I was like following the intricacies and stuff like that. I like it. I'm a little desensitized. I almost don't need the tree stuff because it's almost
either.
Too real.
Yes.
And it's too shocking for them to go from, like, fun vacations to, like, tragic family.
At the very end.
Yeah.
Like, go out on that bummer note.
It's so, like, maybe if you were binging this show, it would all, like, kind of wash over you. But, like, as a episode, it's so disjointed and it feels like two separate different shows.
I like going out on, like, a fight.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, a fun negative note to go out on. But, like... it is, like, too dark. I don't want to see, like, little kids who miss their dad.
And also,
like,
we know how this ends.
Exactly.
We know he's in Italy now. We know, like, we've been watching the other show online.
Yeah.
Or, like, on Instagram and all that stuff. So it's really hard to watch this knowing how that ends.
Yeah. It's a little too dark for Bravo, I agree. But I do think this episode was rich with plot points and texture. And I really appreciated it. The first half of the season, like, the first few episodes of the season were really fucking boring. But I think it's starting to pick up.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's way better than Beverly Hills could ever be.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Beverly Hills for the clothes and the hair and the trips. I'm watch it for conflict.
So close to being done with that show.
Ryan Bailey, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I mean, this is always a joy. Like, this is literally, you're like, I laugh with like a high school friend. So this is always perfect for me.
Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, wait, guys. Also, if you haven't already, head to patreon.com/brown-eyed-unicorn for bonus episodes for just $5 a month. You get access to all the bonus episodes. I recapped Pretty Wild. Ryan did one of those episodes. I'm currently recapping Roni season 2. So get the fuck on it. Ryan Bailey.
Yes.
Plug your shit. Where can people find you?
Guys, I do that. I do a podcast called So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. You can find me on iTunes, Spotify. Hey, subscribe. Give it a shot. These are long podcasts, so there are timestamps. You can skip to whatever section you want. I write them down. And that's pretty much it. Follow me on So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey on Instagram, RyanBailey25 on Twitter and Instagram as well. There's just too much to do. But yeah, please check it out. If you like Hannah, this is in the same lane a little bit, but maybe I'm a little weirder in some ways.
You need to listen to his podcast. Yeah. It's hilarious. If you love pop culture, it's kind of like necessary reading.
And if you hate Jax.
Yeah, then you're definitely Ryan's target.
People are like, I love Jax. Fuck that show.
Yeah, well then they're not my demographic either. And give Ryan a follow.
Please.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.